a message series entitled In the Footsteps of Jesus. And we are walking along the footsteps of Jesus through the season of Lent. And as we approach Easter, we're kind of just spending some time walking with Jesus. Last week, we spent some time talking about this idea of foolish faith is what I titled it. And the idea last week was that as Jesus is there getting ready to do the Sermon on the Mount, he spends some time, which is directed to the disciples. And so Jesus spent some time kind of having this family meeting, right? And saying, here's what it looks like, guys, to be with, to follow me. Here's what it looks like to be a disciple of mine. And so what happens sometimes in the life of the church, for those of us who are churchy people, we sometimes expect that people should live a lifestyle of discipleship when they have no idea what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so we have this idea that they're going to do these things or say these things or talk this way. And when they don't, we're like, brr. But they have no concept of what it means to follow Jesus. And so Jesus is kind of saying, hey, guys, I'm going to lay out for you what it looks like to follow me. Here's what this means. Here's what it looks like. You've heard that it was said this, but I'm telling you it's kind of a new thing now. And so we spent a little time talking about how discipleship, for those who don't understand it, might look just seem silly. It might be foolish to those who are on the outside looking in, going, why would you ever do that? This morning, I want to spend some time talking about storms. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to spend a little time looking at Mark chapter 4. This is the story of Jesus as he calms the storm. This shows up in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Mark's Gospel here, chapter 4, I think it's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, and I think also maybe Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 as well. You'll see different accounts of this same story, the same event that takes place. So Mark chapter 4, and we're going to jump in starting at verse 35, but first I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for being present with us. We pray that you continue to do that, help us to be present with you. And so we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to the things that you would have for us, because we need to hear from you. And so we pray that you would open your word to us, that it might be fresh, it might be new, and that we would hear from you. And so I ask and I pray, I beg, I plead that my words wouldn't be mine but yours. Amen. Mark chapter 4, looking at verse 35. Now that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Of course, they're there talking about the other side of the lake, right? So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, and just as he was in the boat, there were also other boats with him. Verse 37. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. There's also a translation of that word meaning, or muzzled. He muzzled the wind and the storm and the waves. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Verse 40, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, there's a couple of things about Mark's account that I think we need to kind of give a little backstory to. One is, as we read this account from Mark, in Mark's gospel, we see a couple of things that I think point to an eyewitness account, that Mark was there in the boat with Jesus, right? He gives us a precise time of day. It was evening, and we were getting ready to go into the boat across the lake, right? He gives us vivid detail that the boat was already starting to fill with water. The boat was becoming swamped, right? He says. He gives the precise location of where Jesus is on the boat and what he's doing. Jesus is there in the stern, and I don't know anything about boats, so I don't know whether that's the front or the back. Where is that, front or back? It's the back, right? Okay. So Jesus is in the back of the boat, and he is asleep on a cushion. So Mark is laying out all of these really detailed things that would kind of, I think, help us to kind of assume he's there. He goes on and says the rebuke from Jesus was something to hear, right? And the terror that we cried out with when we were like, Jesus, don't you care if we're going to drown? Because we were terrified. And so Mark gives us some, I think, really important details, which I believe imply that he was there. He was there in that moment, experienced this event with Jesus in the boat, and he kind of shares it with us. Now, a little bit of context for the Lake of Galilee, which is below sea level and is in this sort of basin with high, steep kind of ridges, cliffs, mountains all around it. There's an opening on the southern end of the hills, of the mountains there, where it would not be uncommon for violent winds to come through the south end of the basin and begin to kind of swirl around. You can get the picture, right? Swirl around this lake. And so it was kind of known, experienced, understood that these violent storms, these squalls could show up at any time and then immediately be followed by calm. And so here you've got a group of experienced, expert fishermen and sailors who know, okay, we know that typically the wind is the strongest in the afternoon, which is one of the other reasons why they did most of their fishing when? Well, at night. And so a storm that would show up in evening, later evening, nighttime was especially dangerous because it wasn't necessarily common that it would happen during that time. It would happen, but more often than not, really earlier in the day. And so we've got this scenario that's happening. The boat, there was a, gosh, it was like, I think in the late 80s, mid-late 80s, they found a boat on, you know, somewhere along the Sea of Galilee, right? And it was this boat that was, I don't know, roughly 8, 12 feet long by about 4 feet deep. So we're talking kind of a broader, shallow sort of boat. Picture that Jesus is there in the boat with his disciples. He's in the back of the boat, because I just learned that the stern is the back. So he's in the back of the boat. He's asleep on a cushion. And the waves are crashing over this boat that's relatively shallow. That's the picture that we have when we read this account in Mark's gospel. And so I think there's a couple things that we begin to see that happens when we read through this story. The first one is this, that storms happen. Right? Storms happen in life. I mean, even as Jesus is sleeping in the boat, storms happen. I mean, Jesus could be physically exhausted from the travel, the ministry that he's been a part of over the last number of days, weeks, months, or whatever the case might have been. So it may have been that he was just naturally exhausted and fell asleep in the boat, right? It was calm. He's like, guys, you got this. You know how to do this thing. I'm going to go back here and crash for a little bit. That's just as much likely as some sort of supernatural confidence that Jesus had, that God had them in his care. We don't really know, but we know that Jesus is in the boat. We know that Jesus is in the boat. We know that Jesus is asleep. Even when you're in the boat with Jesus, storms still happen. Even in your life, as you go, you know what, I really kind of feel like I'm walking with Jesus. I mean, I'm trying, like we're trying to be friends, and I'm trying to walk in his footsteps, and trying to be like him. Guess what? And you've experienced, right? Storms still happen. Choosing to be a disciple of Jesus does not mean that storms are not going to show up in your life or in mine. Jesus is there in the boat with the disciples, and the storm still happens. Now, this is one of the first instances of Jesus' control over the natural world. So even as the storm happens, and Jesus is there in the boat, Jesus, who has authority over the storms, but that doesn't mean that he keeps the storms from happening. Storms happen. Second point is this. Storms are difficult. We are perishing. yell the disciples in one of the other gospel accounts. Don't you care that we are about to be done? We are going to die. This, a cry of terror from expert fishermen and sailors. I mean, this is what they know. We know how to fish. We know how to navigate a boat. This is what we do, and we are terrified because storms are difficult. Even when Jesus is in the boat, storms happen, and storms are hard. I mean, the severity of the storm, we kind of get the measure of this, right? That these guys, who this is what they do, are freaking out. So much so that they cry out to the guy, as far as we know, has little to no experience with boats. I mean, Jesus' profession, his background, is a carpenter. He lived in Nazareth, which was like in the hills, a decent walk away from any sort of water. And these experts in this situation, in this thing that's happening around them, this scenario, are terrified because storms are difficult. And they cry out for help from the guy who maybe doesn't know anything about boats at all. Even when we think that we are equipped to navigate the storm, it can quickly become too difficult, especially when we think we can do it ourselves, because storms are difficult. We say, no, this shouldn't happen to me. I got this. I am an expert in this thing, right? As those fishermen and sailors were. But storms are difficult. And they had to appeal to something, to someone else. Right? Because storms can cause fear, they can cause doubt, frustration, anger, mistrust. Right, and we start to ask ourselves some questions in the midst of the storms. Because even when Jesus is in the boat, storms happen. And storms are difficult, even when Jesus is in the boat. And then we start to go, how can something like this be happening to me? I am smart. I am equipped. I am an expert in this situation or that situation. How can this happen to me? And it causes us to be frustrated or angry. Or perhaps we ask ourselves, why? Why is something like this happening to me? Jesus, I thought that you and I were kind of starting to walk step in step with each other, and the storm still shows up? Why is something like this happening to me? Right? And then it causes us to have these feelings of doubt, of mistrust. Jesus, how can I trust you? Because I kind of thought we were walking hand in hand here. And all of a sudden, the storm still shows up. And guess what? Storms are difficult. And why is this happening? Or perhaps we find ourselves saying things like, I'm never going to make it out of this. I will never survive this. Jesus, you hear the echo of the fishermen, right? The disciples, as they go, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? And fear causes us to say, I am never going to make it. I will never survive this. I'm never going to survive this storm, or whatever that looks like in your life. Perhaps you're in the midst of a storm right now, and you're going, there's no way I'm going to survive this. I'm afraid. I feel despair. I almost feel as if there is no more hope left, because the storm happens, and storms are difficult, and I don't know that I'm ever going to survive this. And you see all of these things happening as the disciples kind of have this experience and they cry out. Now, of course, you can see some parallels between the story of Jonah, right? Remember Jonah's story, and God says, go do this thing, and he's like, no, and he runs the other way, and then next thing we know, Jonah ends up, and he's there on a boat. Jonah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, and as Jonah's on the boat, what happens? A storm. Yeah, before that though, right? There's what? Yes. There's the storm, right? Like the storm happens as they're on the boat, and all of the guys on the boat are like, what did you do? Is basically what they say to Jonah. And where's Jonah? He's down below asleep. Jesus, in the back of the boat, is asleep. Now we're going to begin to see how some things go differently with Jesus, right? Jonah, all the sailors were afraid, Jonah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea, trying to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below, and maybe he was sick, or he just continued to try to run away from God, where he laid down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." So there's this event that's happening as Mark is there with the disciples on the boat with Jesus. Jesus is in the boat. He's asleep. And they are freaking out because storms are hard. And they cry out to Jesus, "Don't you care that we're going to drown? I mean, we have water filling the boat right now." We later read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus references Jonah, and he makes this comment: "Something greater than Jonah is here." Storms happen. Storms are difficult. And Jesus says, "Something greater than Jonah is here." Right? We know the story of Jonah, the waves and the wind, and then they're finally, he's like, "You guys just need to chuck me overboard." And so they do, and it calms down. We know Jonah's story goes a little bit differently. Because storms are difficult, they cry out to this guy who, as far as we know, has no experience with boats. "Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? We are so afraid. We are terrified. There is no way we're going to survive this." And that leads us to our last point, that storms force us to respond. Right, Jesus, they wake Jesus up. They're like, "Hey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we're about to drown. While you were asleep, if you noticed the water actually crashing over you while you were laying there, like, asleep." "Oh, didn't even notice," like Jesus says. I don't know what he said. And I don't know that Jesus, I wonder how Jesus woke up. Like, some of us, when we get awoken by something, we're not always the most kind or gentle, and maybe Jesus is like, because he's Jesus, was probably like, wakes up and he's like, "Oh, hey guys, what's going on? Thanks for waking me up from my nap." He wakes up, and we read later where the comment from in Matthew's Gospel, "Something greater than Jonah is here." Storms force us to respond. Jesus is in the boat, storms still happen. Jesus is in the boat, storms are hard. They're difficult. They cause us to be angry, frustrated. They cause us to have fear. We doubt, we mistrust that God is even present, even sometimes when God is in the boat with us and the storms are happening. And we're like, "Where are you? I don't trust that you're actually here." But then the other thing that happens is that storms force us to respond. And so you've got these expert sailors who cry out to this guy going, "Help us, save us, don't you care? We're never going to survive this. We are so afraid." Storms force us to respond. And this picture of Jesus getting up, like they wake him up and he's like, "Hold on one second." And he subdues the wind. He puts a muzzle on the wind and the waves. And he tells it to be quiet, to be still. And I can't imagine what that would be like, right? And then just like, boom, glass. And I wonder how much, how terrified they were either before or after that. If they were more terrified by the storm and that they were, what it seemed like they were going to die because storms are difficult. Or in that moment when they cry out to Jesus and he's like, "Oh yeah, cool, something greater than Jonah's here, watch this." Boom, 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 glass. And then they're like, "Oh." Right, but this fact that Jesus subdues the wind and the waves was not just this mere demonstration of his power. It was a revelation of who Jesus is. It was Jesus being unveiled to his disciples as the Savior in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the peril. What does that look like in your life and in mine, in the storms of life, when Jesus shows up and reminds us that he is, in fact, our Savior? That he is, in fact, with us in the boat, and that doesn't mean that storms don't happen, but that he's there in the midst of it and can be our Savior in the midst of peril. Right? This isn't just Jesus being like, oh, guys, watch, hold my pillow for me. Watch this. This is Jesus saying, guys, don't you know? Don't you know that I am the Savior in the midst of intense peril? That Jesus is the living, personal God who intervenes in the experiences of humans in a way that he reveals his power and his will. Because the storms force us to respond. And we see that unfold, that as Jesus is the God who acts, that he is not some sort of abstract, passive idea or philosophy or deity that just kind of like hangs out, but that he is in fact the God who intervenes in our lives, who is present, who acts on our behalf. It forces us to respond. What is true of the God of Israel is true of Jesus. And as the disciples are in the boat there, seeing all of this play out, they're recognizing they are now being forced to respond to some way, in some way, to Jesus. What I appreciate about Jesus, lots of things, right? We try to. I appreciate that Jesus does not describe the disciples as being faithless. Right? He kind of says, why are you so afraid? One of the translations in one of the other gospels is, why do you have such little faith? Not that you don't have any faith, but why is it so little? And I hear Jesus being compassionate. I hear Jesus being gracious in that moment. Not a like, what the heck, guys? Seriously, you don't get it still? But rather this sense of like of grace and love and compassion and mercy. In the midst of their fear, Jesus reaches out and says, guys, why are you so afraid? You don't have to be afraid. I'm right here. Guys, why is it so little? Right? The storm forces us to respond. He doesn't say that they're faithless, but begins to want to question, hey, guys, where is your faith? Do you really have faith? Why is it so little? Why is it so small? And we begin to see how this journey of the disciples, right? One of the message titles we had a couple weeks ago was Motley Crue. How this motley crew of individuals were learning what it means to follow Jesus as they go. They were learning what it means to have faith. Just as you and I are learning as we go what it means to have faith, to put our faith in God. Now, what's interesting is the accounts of Mark and Matthew are slightly different. And in particular, they're different in the order in which Jesus responds. And I kind of think it's interesting. In Mark's gospel, they are afraid. They cry out. Jesus immediately wakes up. He rebukes the waves. He muzzles the storm. And then he talked to his disciples. In Matthew's account, they wake him up. Jesus first talks to the disciples in the midst of the storm. The storm is still raging. The waves are still crashing because storms are difficult. And storms happen even when Jesus is in the boat. The waves are crashing still. And Jesus talks to the disciples first in Matthew's account. I can't help but wonder if Jesus is like, they're freaking out. Jesus, don't you care that we're going to drown? And he's like, well, guys, why do you have such little faith? And I wonder if the guys aren't like, dude, do something. Like, I don't need a lecture right now. I need a savior right now. And Jesus in that moment is maybe in a way kind of being like, guys, you don't need to panic. I got this. But let's talk about our relationship. Let's talk about your faith and your trust. And first in Matthew's gospel, Jesus addresses the disciples, then he addresses the storm. And I wonder if sometimes in our lives, that's not what happens. Sometimes Jesus wants to address us in the midst of the storm, because storms happen, they're hard, and they force us to respond. And in those storms, Jesus wants to say, hey, Matt, I want to have some conversation with you. I want to talk about your faith in our relationship. I'm not going to deal with the storm right now. The storm is still raging, but you and I are going to have some conversation. Sometimes it's like Mark's account, where Jesus stands up, calms the storm, and then says, okay, now let's talk. because the storms force us to respond, and people respond differently to the word of God. Sometimes it's fear and amazement. Sometimes it's fear and rejection. Sometimes there's a desire to want to follow Jesus with obedience. Other times it's sort of like, wow, it's crazy. I'm astonished by this. But if the disciples were told not to be concerned about food and clothing, then can they not trust that God will save them from peril? And then this thing that happens forces them to respond. At the end of this event that happens, they say, "Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And they are forced to respond to this person that is Jesus. And I wonder if in your life and in mine, the storms that come across our way, if they don't also force us to respond to who Jesus is. I mean, all of their hope was in Jesus. At this point, in this moment, with the storm raging, the only thing they had, all of their expertise, all of their experience, didn't mean nothing. They had to surrender it, they had to abandon it, and they had to place all of their hope in the guy who was sleeping in the back of the boat. Because the storm forced them to respond to who Jesus is. And then they went, whoa, even the wind and the waves obey this guy? All of their abilities, all of their own efforts, they had to say, none of that is working in the midst of the storm. And I got to respond to who Jesus is. And so the question for you and for me as we have something to leave with is, how do we respond in the midst of the storms of life? How do we respond to Jesus? We can turn to ourselves and go, you know what, I should be able to navigate this. I've got all of the training. I've got all of the coping skills. I've got all of the expertise. I should be able to navigate this storm on my own. Or we can respond to Jesus and say, okay, I'm going to trust. I'm going to abandon all the stuff that I think I know, and I'm going to trust you. Lord, we give you thanks that you are willing to ride out the storm, the storms of life with us. We pray that you would help us to be mindful of the times in the midst of the storm when there might be some refining done, when there might be some fine-tuning. Maybe there's an opportunity in the midst of the storms of life to grow closer to you. And so we pray that you would help us to respond with faith, with trust, and we confess that those things are hard for us. But we pray that you might help us in the midst of the storms of life, like those disciples in the boat, that all of our hope might be in you. Lord, give us the courage to know that and to trust that.